Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It is the Friday, November 5th edition of the show. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And, of course, Chris on the phone as he is most weekdays. We are going to try and fit today's show within an hour. So we'll see. We've been going like an hour 15. I want to see if we can reel it in a little bit. Chris, before we jump into the rundown, all that good stuff, of course, we have a lot of football news to discuss. We start off every Friday with where is College Game Day from ESPN going to go for the next week? So next week is week 11. I've got five options for you. We will start off with this one. Oklahoma at Baylor next week. Now, Baylor is hosting TCU this week. I would imagine they will get that one done. Of course, you never know in a rivalry like that. How do you feel about that if they were to make the leap to Baylor?
I wouldn't hate it, but it's not my favorite choice by any stretch.
The next one I've got, NC State at Wake Forest. Of course, Wake Forest would have to get through North Carolina, and you would probably need NC State to get a win at Florida State. Wake Forest, a short underdog on the road. NC State, a short favorite on the road. I would like to see them in Wake Forest next week. I think that'd be a lot of fun because I don't know how many opportunities you're going to get within about a decade of going to Wake Forest. How you feel about that one?
That's it. That's the place. That's the place you need to go. And I don't care what NC State does, by the way. Wake Forest is undefeated, NC State has been good enough to justify going there.
I tend to agree. Did you see the stat where, my gosh, what was it? Wake Forest had like 83% of their student body at their most recent home game against Duke.
Well, yeah, but they have like the smallest enrollment in the country.
Right, but the fact that they got like 83% of all of their students at the game was pretty crazy to me. That's a high number.
I mean, yeah, but that's okay. Yeah. Percentages are easier to get when you're little.
Agreed.
If five people show up out of 100, you've got 5%. Okay? True. If five people show up out of 10, you got 50%.
No, I see what you're saying. It's just, surprising considering this is not exactly known as a football hotbed. There's not a ton of students that typically care about the football program, but they are bought in right now. So I do think that would be a fascinating spot. I wrote down Minnesota at Iowa. They have not been to Kinnick this year. Iowa's been on a downturn here.
They missed their chance to go to Kinnick. Shame on them. That's on them.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Minnesota, kind of a shocking story right now, but, things are about to get...
Minnesota's been awesome, but yeah. No, they're not game day worthy right now.
I don't think so. Mississippi State at Auburn. If State can get a win against Arkansas and Auburn gets a win against A&M, maybe they head to the Plains?
No, because I think they're going to end up doing Mississippi State. They're going to go to the Iron Bowl, so you don't want to set yourself up to go to the same school, you know, two out of three like we did with Georgia.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then last one, Texas A&M at Ole Miss. Ole Miss, of course, hosting Liberty. That one could be fun.
That one, if for some reason Wake Forest loses and the wheels come off there and you know, something happens in the Baylor, I think that's an interesting game. I think it's a fun game. Ole Miss got a couple of losses under the belt now, but I don't think either of those losses are anything to sniff about. So
yeah, I mean it would be two loss teams. Of course, A&M, we would have to get them through Auburn this weekend at home at Kyle Field. So I guess the our prediction, our hope is that they go to Wake Forest next week, and then second, of course, would probably be Oklahoma, Baylor, and then A&M, Ole Miss in that order. All right, so I want to get your opinion on what went down on Tuesday night, I think it was. We have not had an opportunity to discuss it yet, but the CFP rankings. The big story for me was not Cincinnati at six. The big story for me is what is happening at the bottom of the polls. I think, and they do this every year, I believe that they are setting up, they're setting up the top teams with the also-rans down at the bottom. That's how they're doing this. We'll go through the top 10 right quick. Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Michigan State 3, Oregon 4. That would be your top 4 right now. Then 5, Ohio State, 6, Cincinnati, 7, Michigan, number 8, Oklahoma, 9, Wake Forest, and number 10, Notre Dame. Hey, go on and give me some thoughts. I know you got things going through your head on this one.
Well, yeah, so my first reaction was rage and anger and frustration. But then at some point in time, it's on me to feel these things because I know the people that run these things. I know the men and women that make these decisions. They're awful people. They are terrible people. They're bad at their jobs, and they have no souls. They have no morals, okay? They are whores. They do anything for money. And I'll tell you, they do what whores do for money. They blow cock for money. That's what they do, Gary. That's what they do. All right?
Yeah, yeah.
So all these years, they overinflated the ACC, right? Every year when this thing came out, because Clemson's strength of schedule was so bad and they didn't have a good win on the schedule, they ranked all these shitty ACC teams that have like two or three losses, all right? Every year we saw it happen just so they could say, well, look, they got ranked.
Chris, we still got you. We've lost you. Hold on. Chris is not wrong, by the way. Hopefully he'll come back in service here in just a second. But, yeah, it's if you look at what they have ranked here, Mississippi State at number 17. Oh, there we go. We lost him. We should be able to get him back here momentarily. But Mississippi State at number 17, I mean, what are we talking about here? Like, this is crazy. Chris, we got you. Hang on. We got to swap him back over to the audio board. All right, we got you now.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry about that. I'm driving, and I heard you perfect the whole time.
That's cut off. Yeah, I was getting nothing. I was getting nothing from you. But what we're talking about is the rankings at the bottom, right? You talked about the ACC and them doing that for Clemson for years. Well, in order to rank Alabama in the number two spot, they had to give them more than just one win against a top 25 opponent, and they did that by boosting up Mississippi State to number 17. I don't believe anybody on the planet believes that Mississippi State is the 17th best team in college football this year. But they've got Ole Miss at number 14, or sorry, number 16, and they got Mississippi State at number 17, and A&M is number 14. That is Alabama's loss. Cincinnati has no losses, and they have a win over top 10 Notre Dame.
On the road.
Yes. Like
big deal matters.
Yes, it most certainly
does. They're liars. The people that run this, they come out every year and they say, we really respect Cincinnati and we really appreciate what they do. No, you don't. You don't respect them. You're a piece of shit person and you manipulate stuff to get what you want. You manipulate stuff to benefit those who benefit you financially. That's all you do. Let's just come out and say it, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. This is, I mean, it's strange when you look at it. Cincinnati, they did the same thing with Oregon. In order to justify having Oregon at number 4 over Cincinnati, they had to toss in Fresno State at number 23. You can't tell me that UTSA doesn't deserve to be ranked ahead of Fresno State right now. I love Fresno State. I think they're a fantastic football team. But having Fresno and San Diego State at 23 and 24 to help boost the Pac-12's rankings?
They need those bottom. They need the teams at the bottom in there that nobody pays attention to and nobody cares about so they can boost these teams that don't belong.
Yes. It makes no sense to me. Like, I cannot figure out why on earth they continue to do this. Ohio State at number 5. They've got Minnesota at 20. You know, they've got Michigan at number 7. And while a lot of the stats would agree with that, I mean, who exactly has Michigan beat, right? Like, they've got Michigan one spot behind Cincinnati. If you want to talk about who Cincinnati
has beaten. I'm not going to quibble over an undefeated team that just lost their first game on the road to one of their biggest rivals. That's also undefeated, by the way. Like, I'm not – like, that brings no ear to me whatsoever. Like, now, I don't care.
Oklahoma, I think they got Oklahoma right at number 8. Like, Oklahoma is 9-0, but they have not looked good.
I do think that took some courage. I do think that took balls. And when I saw that, I thought, man, they always work their way up. And it was after that, it was when the wheels fell off.
Yeah, no, they have got it set up for Oklahoma to be able to climb here because they've got Oklahoma State at 11 and Baylor at 12. That's gonna be interesting. You know, Oklahoma has a bye this week. They've got those two along with Iowa State coming in right behind that. They've got a shot for Oklahoma to bounce way, way up, but Cincinnati kind of in no man's land here. And
well, no, they have no chance unless you have chaos above them.
Yeah.
Because they don't. They're not going to play another good. So here's the thing. You know what they also did by leaving those teams? You know who else they left out? They intentionally left out SMU, one loss, SMU, one loss, Houston. Why? Because those are two teams that Cincinnati's going to play, and they're going to make sure that those aren't ranked wins.
Yes. Yes. Like at UTSA not being in, I was a little shocked by that. SMU and Houston not being in, I was definitely shocked by those two because those two have been good all season. You look at just advanced metric numbers. Aside from the fact that they have won, I mean they're both 7-1 at this point.
They can't rank them. They can't because then they put together a resume that the whole world sees that justifies what they're saying isn't right.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right, which is exactly why they do this the way that they do. Right, the AP poll looks vastly different than the first CFP ranking, and while we do want that, we do want a difference of opinion. We are going to start seeing the AP poll shift back towards the college football playoff ranking. They say that they tear these up and they redo them every single week. I don't necessarily buy that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. Let's move on from there. I got to get your opinion on this. So yeah, Wednesday, I guess it was, they announced that Aaron Rodgers is out because he has tested positive for COVID. He will not be playing against the Chiefs. And, of course, that line went from a pick 'em to an 8-point favorite Kansas City Chiefs. There's an NFL investigation into the protocols at Green Bay right now. Give me some thoughts here. I'm not sure exactly what to think of what's happening with the Packers.
Well, I mean, there's nothing happening with the Packers I know of. Rodgers got COVID. Rodgers isn't vaccinated, and so he's automatically out for 10 days no matter what. If he was vaccinated, everyone says, oh, well, there's time. If you were vaccinated, then you can get 2 negatives and still play. I don't know that he would have played. We've seen too many other guys get COVID that have been vaccinated. The vaccine doesn't stop you from testing positive for COVID. It's not magic. And so it doesn't help you heal or test negative faster or sooner than you normally would. So, you know, he would have to get 2 negative tests between basically Thursday and Sunday, and I don't know that you're going to get that. Maybe you could. I'm not a doctor. I don't understand all shit. But the biggest issue is the manipulation of Rodgers, is the lying. This guy is a piece of shit. Not because he's not vaccinated, but because he lies about it. How much hell did Cole Beasley catch? how much hell did Kirk Cousins catch and Carson Wentz catch and Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson? How much hell did those guys catch in the offseason for admitting they're uncomfortable with the vaccine, they don't want to take it? And Rodgers just lied. He just says, I'm immune now. And now he looks at everybody's like, well, that doesn't mean vaccinated.
Yeah, he
like,
said, I'm immunized, right?
Yeah. You know what you're doing when you say that. You openly lied to everybody. And you know why he did it? Because he's a thin-skinned, cowardice little bitch that cannot take the heat. He can't take criticism, Gary. He just can't.
This is
a guy that's been great at everything for so long that nobody has said a bad word about him. Everyone turns a blind eye to the fact that he's a diva and he's a drama queen and he's a piece of trash. And because he's great at football, yes, he's great at football. He's also a grade A asshole.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. This kind of brings up the stuff that we talked about in the preseason. You know, about whether or not he would even report to the team. Would he retire? He didn't want to play for the Packers anyway. You know, blah, 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 blah. I'm curious if we are getting to a point, if they force him to become vaccinated, if this becomes a whole thing, do we get to retirement for him? Does he care enough to deal with this?
You got I think he does. I mean, he's made it through the season. What's going to be alarming is, I mean, because, A, outside of the Saints game that they just, no one can explain, it's week one, they looked unbelievable. Like last week they looked pretty beatable and they didn't look great, but they got the win. Like, they're undefeated outside of that week one season game. I wouldn't walk away from that if I was him. At some point in time, you just got to buckle up, buttercup, and learn how to take the fire. I don't know how you teach somebody that if they're just not going to be that guy, but he has been in the league for a long time, and he has been given the softest questions you could possibly make. He's never been challenged on any, really. Everyone loves him, and it's just one of those things where he's never found the ire of the media, and now he's going to have to figure out how to handle that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know what to make of the Packers Chiefs game at this point. They apparently signed Blake Bortles.
I do. I'd take the Packers all day long. I don't think Jordan Love is that bad. I really don't.
So is it going to be Love or is it going to be Bortles that comes in?
Oh, why would it not be Love?
Has he not been dealing with an injury of some sort?
Hell, I don't know. I don't follow their 2-deep and 3-deep quarterback at Green Bay. Jesus.
You know what? I'm looking it up right now.
If it's Blake Bortles, I'll take that back. But if it's Love, I'll take those points.
So I know that they signed Bortles, but I don't know that they anticipate him necessarily, you know.
Every team has to have 3 quarterbacks in the world of COVID, even if you're vaccinated or not.
Yeah. Okay, so it might be.
You can't take a chance of going in. I never even considered my brain that Love wouldn't be the starter.
It looks like they've got Love as second string. There were a lot of reports that they were going to sign Blake Bortles to have him start the game. But we'll see. I mean, I have no idea what to make of this anymore. So I will not be betting it for sure. When it was a pick 'em, I was all over it. But when I started hearing rumblings about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I said, hold on. We might want to wait on this one. So
I understand wanting to avoid criticism. Like, I totally get nobody openly wants it. But man, when you do what he did now, like, and you get caught, like, the benefit of not going through all the COVID stuff before the season started and getting yelled at and then, like, it's not going to be close to how bad it's going to be when he gets back now.
Yeah.
And I just, this is why lying is a bad deal. When I was a young man and when I was a child, I lied. I lied all the time. Every time my feet got to the fire, and I got yelled at, if I thought I was going to get in trouble, I'd tell a lie. And then I just got older and I realized, man, it's just not worth it. It's just not. You're going to get caught. You're going to get in trouble. It's going to make it way worse. Just own up to shit, okay? And if you got to be an asshole, but own it.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think in that situation before the season, he should have not said anything because there were a lot of players that said, I'm not going to talk about that. Like,
well, here's the thing. But the problem is everybody who says I'm not going to talk about it is all unvaccinated. Like, yeah. Everybody who's vaccinated is ready to preach that they're vaccinated. Boy, they are swinging that card around. Oh, yeah.
No, you're right.
So you know, the reason he didn't want to do that is because he knew if he said, I don't want to talk about this, or it's none of your business, or something of whatever, however he handled it, everyone instantly knows you're not vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah, it just becomes a weird issue. Like, there's not... Well, I take that back. In the NFL, like, people ask about injuries and medical crap all the time. It's such a weird profession, having to ask, you know, medical questions, right? Like,
what sports? You play professional athletes. Yeah. Oh, this is not just the NFL didn't have the copyrights on that. Every league does.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. We live in such a weird time. I did want to bring this up. Let's go ahead and hit on this before we jump into our college football Week 10 preview. Mike Boynton, who is the Oklahoma State basketball coach, did you see his remarks on the NCAA on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was?
Yeah, I retweeted it out this morning.
All right, so let me read it out for the audience here. Mike Boynton said, I am disappointed, disgusted, appalled, frustrated, but somewhere in Indianapolis, there's a group of people celebrating. They won. Our players don't deserve and shouldn't have to deal with this. He said, it was a single NCAA violation. One player received $300. One player, not a recruit, not a future recruit, not a family member. One current player received $300, and in and of itself, because it was self-reported by us, it is a secondary violation. So the punishment is you pay the money back, serve your suspension, which the kid did, and you move on. It is no wonder that nobody trusts the NCAA. They don't have to come and do this and answer questions and talk to kids and talk to parents. They hit Oklahoma State with a postseason ban. It was before the 2020-2021 season, and it was they gave the school a level one violation after former assistant coach Lamont Evans accepted bribes to push players to agents and advisors. Now, here's the issue. Evans was also an assistant coach at South Carolina. He, along with, I mean, there were several other coaches at Arizona, USC, Auburn, etc. They didn't give South Carolina a postseason ban. They gave Oklahoma State a postseason ban, and they said that it was because of the amount of money that Evans took from Christian Dawkins. But when it comes down to it, Oklahoma State as a school, as a program, etc., didn't do anything wrong. And yet, Oklahoma State cooperated 100% with the NCAA. And Boynton discussed, like, all the different things that they had to go through for the appeal. The day before they played against Kansas, he had to fly to Atlanta for a hearing, and then he flew back to coach the team the next day. On the same day that they were playing against Oklahoma, they had a hearing in Indianapolis. And he had to be there for it. So he flew to Indianapolis because it was important to be there for the appeal hearing and then flew back to coach the team. Like, all this stuff that they jumped through all these different hoops, and the NCAA just said, nope, appeal denied. You still got a postseason ban. Like, they will not be in the NCAA tournament this year because of that. Like, why anybody? And he did say, if you're a school that's dealing with this stuff right now, don't cooperate. Like, don't. And honestly, I think Oklahoma State should have known that. But at the end of the day, like, there's no reason to cooperate with these fools anymore. Like, it's just a train wreck. Give me your. I know you hate the NCAA, but my gracious, yeah. Like, this was absurd.
Yeah. No, listen. I am now past hatred. And I would actively be against them. I would not talk to them. I would not communicate with them. If they ask for information, they're not getting anything. I don't care how little or small it is. I don't care if it's to hurt another program. I would not cooperate with them if they were going to give you immunity and we want, just to go after Alabama. I do not care. Nope. I am not helping you. I am not doing anything for you. If your people, if your investigators step foot on my campus, I'm going to have my campus police escort them off. I will have you detained, I'll have you arrested, or I'll have you removed. I would not send them any money at all. As if I was a chancellor, if I was a president, I would go through our books. What money is going to Indianapolis? and I'd cut them off and make them come get me. What are they going to do? What are they going to do to stop you? How are they going to get it?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
I'd make them fight me in court all day long, because if enough schools say, screw this, I'm not doing this shit, these people are terrible people, they're a terrible organization, I'm done. They don't bring any benefit whatsoever to the school. They don't bring any benefit whatsoever to the university. They don't bring any benefit or whatsoever to their original purpose was for players' safety, health and safety of student athletes. And they're so bad at that that there's another organization that had to pop up that fights the NCAA on trying to help better the safety and well-being of players. Because the NCAA doesn't do it anymore. They actively fight against players.
Yes. Yes.
So I wouldn't do anything. Not only would I not do anything for them, I would go out of my way to make their life miserable. I would fight against every little thing they try to throw at me. They have no authority. Don't give them the authority. They have no respect for you. Don't give them any respect. Don't treat them with any dignity. Nothing at all. None of them.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I mean,
hang on. I've been saying this shit for a long time, but now you got a head coach for another university who's a respected person. I am not. That's fine. I don't deserve the respect. But that guy's finally saying it, and people started listen. These guys didn't just become a useless piece of shit overnight. They've been this for a long time. They're a made-up organization. They're not the police. They're not the FBI. They can't do anything to you. They're going to say, well, that game don't count. Well, okay. All right. We're still going to play it. And everybody's going to come out and watch.
Yeah.
And we're going to know who won and who lost.
It's still going to be on TV. People will still remember this game.
That's right. Oh, you don't want to put a season. What if ESPN just put them in? Or what if Turner just put them in? What if other people, you know, hey, we think they're 12. So we're going to put them in 12 seed, and we're going to put them over here, and show up this day, and you can't the seat. Well, the NCAA, well, we run that. You can't do that. Fuck you. Get in the corner. Shut up.
I love it. You are breaking up just a little bit. So let's. I do want to get started with the college football Week 10 preview. Let me check your mic right quick. Give me a test real quick.
Check, 1, 2.
Hey, we're back to normal. I like it. All right. Week 10. I start out with four questions every week to get a feel of the landscape for college football. Best games of the weekend. I want to start off with Auburn at Texas A&M. That one is, I think, the best game this weekend. There are going to be some fun games, but as far as highly ranked teams and games that matter a whole lot, I do think that Auburn and A&M is the biggest game of the weekend. You agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think it's close. I don't think it's close.
I think so as well. Texas A&M turned a corner. Really, Zach Calzada started to turn a corner against Mississippi State. They lost that game at home, but you know, after that, they handle Alabama, and then they've had two cupcakes, basically, with Missouri and South Carolina. They are coming off of a bye week. Auburn beat up on just a damaged, beat-up Ole Miss team last week. But Auburn has been playing really well. These are two teams that are well-coached that do not beat themselves. I have no idea which way to lean on it. I think it's going to be a fascinating football game. The winner of this really still has a shot at the playoff, even with two losses, I think.
Well, Auburn controls their destiny, because if they win this game, they can beat Bama. A&M would need some help. They would need Auburn or somebody else to beat Bama. So,
yeah. If Auburn were to lose this and then beat Alabama, that would toss Texas A&M into the SEC championship game. And with a win over Georgia, A&M could find their way into the playoff even with two losses. Auburn, you go ahead and beat Alabama, and then you beat Georgia. Like, if you've got a win over A&M and, you know, Mississippi State and Alabama and Georgia again, which they got trounced by Georgia early, but you come back and beat them in Atlanta, Auburn will be in the playoff. So, you know, this is
I agree.
This is a game that means a lot.
Yeah, I think these teams.
Another big game for this weekend that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, I think Mississippi State and Arkansas is going to be one of the best games of the weekend. Like, these two teams are very evenly matched. You want to talk about a coaching matchup. I mean, good gracious. Zach Arnett, the defense coordinator for Mississippi State, against Kendall Briles, and then Mike Leach on offense against Barry Odom on defense. Like, this is going to be a lot of fun, man.
I agree. I love Sam Pittman. I think Arkansas can find a way to get back to what Arkansas looked like before the season started. They played a couple of teams that just physically outmatched them and out-talented them. I don't think Mississippi State's going to have that luxury.
I tend to agree. State's been really good against the run this year. So, obviously we'll pick this here in just a little bit in the off-the-radar pick'em. Do you have a game that you want to toss out? I've got three other ones that I kind of like this weekend.
Well, I mean, I think that Wake Forest game, North Carolina game, is going to be fun. I think it's going to be exciting. And I mean, obviously the Ole Miss Hugh Freeze game has potential to be a lot of fun and exciting, but it also has potential to be a complete utter dutter.
Yeah, so. Now you're not wrong about that. Michigan State and
you
Purdue.
You think we're going to get anything out of Iowa State, Texas?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this game is always close. Always close. So I think Texas can hang in there. It's in Ames, and Texas has had success in Ames. They are 4-1 against the spread their last five against Iowa State. You know, I think it could be interesting because Iowa State seems to find a way to beat themselves for whatever reason. And, you know, Texas got better players. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but, you know, they could be a little bit explosive on offense. I think we could see some points there. Michigan State-Purdue, I think, is very interesting with Michigan State coming off of that big, big win. Purdue does some stuff that Michigan State is not great at stopping. So I think that one could be very interesting for an afternoon game in West Lafayette. Oklahoma State-West Virginia, I think, could be a lot of fun. That's a 3.5-point spread right now. I think one of my favorite games of the weekend, Chris, is UTSA and UTEP. Like, that in El Paso, night game, 10:15 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. It got the ESPN treatment. This could be a lot of fun. I mean, these are two programs. Now, UTEP, not a great team, but they are 6-2, and they believe, and they are doing an orange out. They are going to have a ton of fans. I mean, I think they're going to sell out the Sun Bowl, which is like 60,000 seats. Like, this is going to be a lot of fun. So I think that could be a really fun matchup.
I think they're going to need all 50,000 of those people to help them win this game. I don't think this game's going to be close. What's the line? The line's pretty big, isn't it?
Line's 11. It opened at 12.5. So the public and the sharp bettors have both been on UTSA in this one. On UTEP.
I like UTSA to win this thing pretty easily. I don't care what the record says if you're not playing anybody, okay? And at some point in time, you got to play somebody. And they just haven't. They just haven't. They padded that record with just bottom 100 teams.
Yeah. Now, you ain't wrong there. The most to gain this weekend, I think, can be said the same for most to lose. I think it's in that Auburn A&M game. I mean, I don't know that there's a close second at all. Whoever wins that game has...
Not to gain. Well, maybe Wake Forest. And the reason it's Wake Forest is if Wake Forest gets game day treatment next week, that's a big deal. That brings a lot of eyeballs. That has a value, a dollar value that's kind of unbelievable and hard to equate. And if they lose, then, you know, it just really hurts because you had so much hope. I would say Wake Forest. Could be the most to gain and to lose.
Yeah, I had Wake Forest under most to lose. But yeah, with the game day aspect, I do think you could toss them into most to gain as well. As far as a playoff sleeper, I wrote down Auburn, but again, we could do A&M there as well. They're both teams with two losses. I really think that both of them have a good shot to make the playoff if things fall the right way.
The difference is Auburn can, we've said this, Auburn controls their destiny. A&M doesn't. And that's where it's really hard.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's why I wrote down Auburn here for the sleeper, because they do control their destiny. This is a really well-coached football team that's kind of hitting their stride at the right time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Let's go ahead and dive into this pick'em here. College football off the radar pick'em for week 10. And we have got 12 games, so let's go ahead and dive through them. We are going to get this thing done in less than an hour. Last week, I went 5-6. Chris went 6-5. Overall on the season, I am 46-49. Chris, you are 39-56. But with the amount of games that we pick every week, I believe that both of us can get back over 500 before the end of the season, and it starts this week. Game number one here, my brother, SMU traveling to the Liberty Bowl against Memphis. It's a 12 p.m. Eastern time game. Memphis, a 4.5-point home underdog. It opened at 5.5. It's now down to 4.5, total of 70.5. Of course, the odds brought to you by BetUS, where the game begins. There is a lot of chatter about Sonny Dykes really agreeing to the TCU job right now. I don't know that that's completely done, but it does make me wonder about SMU and whether or not they are fired up for this game. SMU won this game 30-27 last year. Before that, Memphis had won and covered 6 straight in the series. Look, there's a massive mismatch here. SMU number 5 in EPA per pass on offense. Memphis's defense is number 105 in that regard. I don't know what the situation is with the Memphis quarterback, but I don't necessarily know that it matters here. I really like SMU minus the 4.5 here. Granted, that depends on whether or not Sonny Dykes is still bought in after that loss last week, if he has not already started packing to move, you know, 40 miles west to head over to Fort Worth. What do you got on this one?
I don't think guys do that. Oh, that's insane.
I agree. That's why I took SMU.
Way better.
Yeah.
This Memphis team is trash. He's not gonna quit coaching the team that he's got just to you know, get ready for the job that he's gonna coach next year. These wins still go on his resume, and if he starts losing games, that goes on his resume, and that's gonna hurt him. So he's gonna want to go into that Memphis game. He's gonna beat the hell out of him. And guess what? He's gonna beat the hell out of him. Memphis sucks. Silverfield's terrible.
I tend to agree. Does Memphis have to completely fall off the map for them to not keep Silverfield? Like, I wonder.
Listen, all right, you got a marriage, and it's on the rocks, okay? It's falling apart, things are bad, and you know this thing's going to come to an end soon, but do you try to make it work? Well, maybe. It all depends. I mean, if that old lover shows back up, it's easy to push that bitch out the window.
You were all bought in on Fuente coming back, aren't you?
Yeah. If Justin Fuente sent a text in the direction of Memphis, I would fire Silverfield on the spot.
Yeah, I could buy it. Let's move into the next game. We've got another 12 p.m. Eastern time game. Liberty heading to Ole Miss. It is the Hugh Freeze Bowl. You got Hugh headed up against Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss, a 9.5-point favorite, total of 67. Liberty, 3-1 straight up, 4-0 against the spread as a road dog the last 2 seasons. You know, I Is this Liberty Super Bowl? Like, I kind of feel like it is. They've got a bye week next week. They just got off of just absolutely drubbing UMass. Liberty number 7 in EPA per play margin. Ole Miss is number 48. Now, obviously, that is not adjusted. That's just raw numbers. Liberty has got some hosses in the trenches, man. They got some big dudes down on the line of scrimmage. Ole Miss still dealing with injury issues to their top three wide receivers. Matt Corral a little banged up. And then, of course, this is a sandwich spot for Ole Miss. They just got off of losing to Auburn. They've got Texas A&M next week. I'm going to go with Liberty because I think that Hugh Freeze wants this game. I think his players want this game for him. Lane Kiffin will be happy to get out of here with a three-point win, with a one-point. It doesn't matter. Just get a W on the board. 9.5 feels like it might be too much for me. And these are two offensive guys. Like, the total is 67. I would kind of think that thing would go over. But these are two teams that, while their pace of play is pretty high up there, as far as Ole Miss's goes, Liberty's is kind of slower. We got, you know, a pretty good Liberty defense, and Ole Miss has kept teams off the board. So while they may give up a bunch of yardage, they don't give up a bunch of points. I'm going to take Liberty here to keep this within 9.5.
Yeah, I think Hugh has been spending 3 years trying to prepare for this game. And I think this matters much more to him. I don't think this Liberty team is a great Liberty team like last year's. Okay, I don't think they're nearly as good as they have been. But still got a great quarterback, still got a great head coach. Ole Miss is hurt. Ole Miss is banged up. It would not surprise me. I just want to see the mental gymnastics that the committee is going to do next week if Ole Miss loses. I guarantee you they're still going to be ranked. They're going to be at like 24. Just because they got to have – that's the marquee win that Alabama has right now.
Yeah. No, you're right. You are right about that. Next game on the board, 3:30 p.m. We have got Michigan State heading to Purdue. The Boilermakers, a three-point underdog at home. This line looked really short coming off of a top-10 win for Michigan State last week. Total is 53.5. You would think that Michigan State would be in a letdown spot after a win over a top-10 Michigan team, but you go back and look over the last 10 years, they are 7-3 straight up off of a win over Michigan. Or off of the Michigan game in the last 10 seasons. They kind of expect to beat Michigan. There was no rushing the field last week, anything like that. They just expected to go in and beat them. Michigan State has won 8 straight against Purdue, but the last meeting was in 2018. Purdue is 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 against the Spartans. Brother, there are some things that Purdue does that Michigan State has trouble with. I think Purdue can pass the ball around a little bit. Now, the raw numbers will not tell you that, but, I mean, we saw it against Iowa. Like, they find holes in the defense. In Michigan State, I mean, we saw it. Michigan had not been able to pass the ball very effectively all season, and they were able to get some passing yards up on Michigan State. This line scares me to death. I initially was going to take Purdue here. I think I'm going to take Michigan State -3. My line on it was Michigan State -6. You look at some of the advanced numbers. Parker over at cfb-graphs.com, his numbers actually have Purdue winning this by like a touchdown. So I don't know exactly what to make of it. Purdue's not going to be able to run the football on them. And Purdue's defense is number 10 in EPA per play. If they can slow down Kenneth Walker, make Peyton Thorne beat you, they got a shot to get some interceptions here. They got a shot to maybe make this a really, really tight ball game. But I'm going to roll with Sparty here at -3.
Yeah, Michigan State to play. You said all that stuff, and then you went to pick Michigan State. That's amazing. Anyway, neither here nor there. Listen, you know what they're not going to do? I don't care what they've done in the past. They're not stopping Kenneth Walker. That's the thing. If they do, then yeah, they win the game. But that's the best running back in football, Gary, and they're not stopping it. They're going to control the line of scrimmage. They're going to eat clock. They're going to play good defense. Yes, Purdue's going to be able to throw the football on them, and Purdue's going to score some points. But it's not going to be enough. Michigan State scores just about every drive down, if not a touchdown, a field goal, just because I can't imagine this Purdue defense slowing down Kenneth enough to get them out of field goal range. I think he's that important, and I think he's that good.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, so we're both rolling Sparty here. We have picked the same thing 3 straight Let's see what we do on this one. 4 p.m. Eastern time, we have got NC State heading to Florida State. Of course, Florida State coming off that heartbreaking loss against Clemson, and one that really broke the heart of a bunch of different bettors that had the under, that had Florida State with the line. I mean, it just all sorts of stuff last week. It was pretty nuts the way that game ended. Total of 55.5. Florida State 0-2 as a home favorite this season. They have lost both outright. NC State 7-3 against the spread the last 10 against Florida State. My question here is, did Clemson kill Florida State's momentum? NC State has not been great on the road, and that might be putting it lightly. You look at some of these numbers. I mean, NC State's defense, number 7 in success rate, number 17 in EPA per play. I trust NC State's defense, and I trust Tim Beck and Devin Leary, the quarterback, to be able to put up enough points to be able to cover 2.5. I think they're the better football team, and I wonder if that loss to Clemson last week kind of set Florida State back just a little bit.
Yeah, I like NC State. I think they're still a good football team. They've got a couple of strange losses. Okay? They've got a loss to Miami. They've got a loss to Mississippi State. So nobody can really explain those, all right? But outside of that, they've looked really good, and they've played really well. I don't think Florida State's going to give them much trouble.
Yeah, NC State kind of demolished Louisville towards the end of that game, because that was a tight ball game until they just decided to put their foot on the gas. And once they did that, it was over. They could probably do the same thing here against Florida State. Next game up, another 4 p.m. game, and I am pumped about this one. We have got Mississippi State going to Fayetteville, Arkansas, a 5-point favorite, total of 55.5. Mississippi State has won 4 straight in Fayetteville. Obviously, different coaches for both teams in those games. Arkansas won this game 21-14 in Starkville last year. It broke a 20-game SEC losing streak. State number 18 in EPA per play margin, Arkansas number 21. Again, I brought it up earlier, but great matchups in coaching here. You've got Zach Arnett, the defensive coordinator for Mississippi State, against Kendall Briles, the OC at Arkansas. You've got Mike Leach, of course, the brilliant offensive mind at Mississippi State, against Barry Odom, the defensive coordinator for Arkansas. And then you got two quarterbacks that you're not sure exactly what you're going to get week in and week out, but Will Rogers against KJ Jefferson is one hell of a matchup to watch. Will Rogers last week set an all-time SEC completion record in a game, hit 36 out of 39 passes. State has been playing really well, but every now and then they can throw up a dud. I like State plus 5 here. I think these teams are too evenly matched for this to be 5 points. This seems like a field goal game one way or the other, and while I do think it will be pointsy, it's 55.5, I think it's going to go over, and I think that we are going to get a field goal game. So give me Mississippi State plus the 5 here.
All right, now we're finally getting off course here. Okay. All right. Mike Leach, who I love, and you know that, ain't ever put two good weekends together in a row. He just don't, all right? Whenever he has a big, unexpected win, you can set your clock betting against him the following week. I think this Arkansas team is much, much better than they've looked the last couple of weeks, because they were facing talent that was far superior than them. This week, they won't have that issue. I think this defense slows down Will Rogers. We've seen Will Rogers look bad and get flustered in the past. I think Barry Odom will absolutely cause that to happen. And I think Burks is one of the best players on the planet, and there's nobody at Mississippi State. Mississippi State's real good at doing what? Stopping the run. Well, guess what? Arkansas is going to swing that thing. They're going to cover this. They're winning by a touchdown.
All right. I can get down with it. Next game on the board, we have got another SEC night game here, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Your LSU Tigers headed to Bryant-Denny Stadium to take on Alabama. Alabama, a 28.5-point favorite. Total is 66.5. And if you would have told me after that 2019 game that in back-to-back seasons, Alabama would be more than a 4-touchdown favorite against LSU, I would have said that you were taking some crazy pills or something. Alabama won 55-17 last season. I think the key matchup in this spot here is LSU's pass rushers against Alabama's shaky offensive line. They have not been real good in pass pro really at all this season. They're very shaky at that point. If I'm Alabama, I'm number 34 in EPA per rush on offense. LSU is number 114 in defensive rushing success rate. You're going to have to run the football against LSU if you want to have success. I don't anticipate a bunch of turnovers and all that kind of crap. I think if Alabama wants to win this game, they're going to have to stick to the ground. I think that 28.5 will be too many points here. Everybody talks about revenge and this and that. Alabama got their revenge last season. This Alabama team is not last season's Alabama team. I don't see them covering 28.5 here. Like, I think they'll win the game. But I think, you know, these LSU players are fighting. Like, they are pushing for something. They're not great, but I think this is a much closer game than 28.5.
Yeah, this is insane. Revenge? Revenge? A team has bullied you for a decade. For over a decade. Has bullied you and picked on you. They beat you one time and their head coach says fuck you to you. And now all of a sudden we got to get revenge against them. Wow, it's a blood boiling. You bunch of thin-skinned pussies.
I'm just talking about the message that has come out from everybody talking about what O said
in
Tuscaloosa two years ago.
And I so, know. It's revenge. It's got to be revenge because old Ellis, because Coach O said, fuck you to Alabama. Oh, God. We got to get them. We got to get them. No, beating them for 20 years ain't enough. No.
I'm going to write down LSU plus 28.5 for you.
God, y'all are such thin-skinned babies.
All right, let's move on to the next one. We've got 7 p.m. Eastern time. Boise State heading to Fresno State, heading down to the Valley. Fresno, a 5-point favorite, total of 60. The last meeting was in 2018, and they met twice that season. Kalen DeBoer, who is the new head coach at Fresno State, I say new, he's been there for 2 years now, but he was the offensive coordinator under Jeff Tedford at the time, and the last meeting was when Fresno State beat Boise on the blue turf to win the Mountain West Conference title. Boise 1-5 against the spread their last six against Fresno. Boise State cannot run the football, and they definitely won't be able to do it against Fresno. And Fresno's pass defense is good. So if Boise was looking to get ahead by passing the ball here, I mean, that is their strength on offense, you're not going to be able to do it against this Boise defense. For whatever reason, like, Boise has not been very good at all this season. So when you look at some of these other numbers, net points per drive, Fresno is number 35, Boise number 52, et cetera. I think that Fresno kind of looks at this as a coming out party. I think they can win this by a touchdown. I like the Bulldogs here. Fresno minus 5.
Yeah, I bet against them last week, but that was the first and only time I'll be betting against them. I like Fresno. I think they're good.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Boise has just got some problems right now. You look at some of the – I mean, their defense is not bad, but they're not very good at stopping successful drives, and I don't know. I'm curious to see how this one's going to go. I do feel good about Fresno, though. Next game on the docket here, and we got a few more, so let me run through them. 7 p.m. Eastern time, Tennessee at Kentucky. This one, my friend, is a pick 'em. 56.5 the total. Kentucky won this 34-7 last year, really based on the fact that Jarrett Garantano gave them the football with a couple of pick sixes and a couple of short fields, etc. Tennessee is 7-2 against the spread against Kentucky in their last nine. Kentucky is 72nd in EPA per pass on defense, but Tennessee is not a great passing team. Hendon Hooker, you know, was still dealing with injuries, et cetera. I expect him to play in this game, but where Tennessee does their damage is on the ground. Well, Kentucky, in that regard, is 26th in rushing EPA per play. Tennessee's defense is not good.
They couldn't stop the run last week against a team that doesn't run the football.
Yeah, that's a lot of that, though, was the fact that Will Rogers was 36 out of 39 passing for however many freaking yards, and Kentucky turned the ball over four times. I don't expect them to do it in this situation.
It didn't change the fact that it still didn't stop the run.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. Mississippi State had, what, like 90-something yards rushing last week?
I don't know. They had four rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what's the red zone?
Yeah, they got down in the red zone. Yeah, I mean, you have a valid point there. I look at this.
Those were not four goal line rushes for touchdowns because they threw it all the way down there. Okay, those were 12-yard runs. Those were 7-yard runs. Those were 8-yard. You can't stop the run in the red zone. You're going to lose.
Yeah, yeah. Now you got me all flustered on what my pick was.
Stick with your pick. Don't let me turn your mind.
I think this is a get-right game for Will Levis. He did not look good last week. I think he can look good against this Tennessee defense. Tennessee's defense is not Mississippi State's defense. So I expect Kentucky to be able to put up points here. I'm going to take Kentucky to win as a pick'em. Initially this week, I felt really good about Tennessee +3. But the more I kind of dove into this game, I think Kentucky at night, at home, this crowd's going to be amped up. I like Kentucky here.
Give me the Volunteers. I'm gonna ride hype one Hooker.
I can get down with it after what you were talking about. It's like, why am I riding Kentucky here? What am I doing? All right, let's move on. Clemson heading to Louisville, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Louisville, a 4-point underdog at home, 46.5. Clemson has won and covered in 4 straight against Louisville. DJ last week, DJ Uiagalelei, had his second highest QBR of the season last week against Florida State. It looked like the offense, you know, they're starting to get guys back healthy again. They looked okay. They looked okay. Like, they would not have covered if it was not for that last little bit there. But Louisville showed against NC State, like, what can happen to Malik Cunningham when he plays against a good defense, and they just kind of put him in a box. And that's what I expect Clemson to be able to do here. I'm going to take Clemson -4. Aside from last week, they have not covered a single game all season. I think they are kind of getting the ship righted just a touch, just enough to be able to cover this 4 points against Louisville this week.
I don't care what stats say. I watched every second of that game last weekend of them against Florida State. Their offense did not look good. Their offense did not get back on track. Uiagalelei still looked like shit. Everything came very, very hard to them. Everything.
So you're I'll take the point. Yeah, you're taking Louisville, right? Louisville +4. I could see this being a field goal game either way. I think Louisville could be in trouble against that defense. That's the only reason I think that. Moving on, we have got a big'un in the Big 12, and I say a big'un as big as you can get whenever there's a 3-loss and a 4-loss team facing off against each other. Texas against Iowa State. Iowa State, a 6.5-point favorite at home in Ames, total of 60 here. Iowa State won this one 23-20 last year and kind of put the nail in the coffin for Tom Herman. Texas 4-1 against the spread, their last 5 against Iowa State. They did not cover last season. Iowa State 1-3 against the spread as a home favorite this season. Texas is only 2-4 against the spread as a road dog. This Texas defense is an issue, man. They're number 100 in defensive success rate. Iowa State number 39 in offensive success rate, but when you look at just all of the different numbers, Texas has got significantly more talent overall than Iowa State. I think Iowa State wins the game if you flip a coin, but if I'm flipping a coin, I'm going to take the team with the head start. I like Texas +6.5 here because I think this could end up being a field goal game one way or the other. It could end up being 31-27, somewhere around there. I think Texas has enough players and enough explosive ability to keep this thing close and maybe even win the game.
Well, why is this number almost a touchdown? What have we seen from Iowa State that thinks they're a touchdown better than this team?
So Iowa State's numbers, again, this all has to go back to taking away the turnovers and whatnot that they've had all season.
You just can't do that.
But that's why the line is where
that it is. I don't care. If you're not looking at all of the numbers, you're not going to look at the entire game to tell me why, then it doesn't matter. Like, the information is garbage now. So, that's fine. Give me Texas. I think Texas will win this game. This is going to be a game that's going to be a fun game to watch because I think these teams play a lot alike. I think the two best players on the field are going to be the running back, and you got a pretty good matchup against those two guys. Give me Bijan, and I think he's going to be the difference. I think they can win the game.
I like it. We'll both.
I think
ride.
This number is like 5 points too much. I thought this game should be close to a pick'em.
Yeah, that's a field goal game somewhere around there is what I thought.
I just don't understand anything about what anybody has seen that says this is a touchdown better than Iowa State's a touchdown better than anyone right now. I just don't think Iowa State's very good.
I'm a ride with you. Texas +6.5 for both of us. And moving on, we are jumping into 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. We don't have to spend long on this one, obviously. Indiana at Michigan. Michigan a 19.5-point favorite. Total of 50.5. It is the Fox primetime game for whatever reason, I guess brands, I suppose. If Michigan wants to work on their passing game, this would be the week to do it. They are... Indiana is number 100 in EPA per passing defense. Indiana number 121 in EPA per play margin. Michigan is number 14. Michigan number 6 in net points per drive. Indiana number 107. I think this is a bounce back game. Michigan gets the hurt off of them from last week, and they absolutely stomp on Indiana here. So I'm taking Michigan minus 19.5.
Yeah, the wheels are falling off of Indiana. So I agree.
They just are not very good at all. At anything. I mean, you look at these numbers, it is so bad. So bad. All right. Last one on the board. And this will get us out of here. 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. USC heading to Arizona State. And the Sun Devils are an 8.5-point favorite. Total is 60. This Drake London injury has got to hurt the Trojans because their offense was majorly predicated on what he was able to do in that receiving core. Somehow, Arizona State is number 11 in EPA per play margin. USC is number 90 in that metric. The question here, like, there's a bunch of questions. Does Jackson Dart provide a spark for this Trojan offense? Which team has quit? Because it kind of looked like both of them did last week. Does Arizona State clean up the mistakes? Because, man, they had a gargantuan amount of them, just a sack full of problems last week against Washington State when they were 16-point favorites. I'm going to take Arizona State here because I do think they are the better team, and I think they still have something to play for. USC is just trying to figure out what's going on until they get a new coach. This is a ugly matchup, but it could end up being a lot of fun for being a Pac-12 After Dark game. What you got on it?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I can't bet one nickel on this USC team.
I almost can't bet one nickel on Arizona State, and yet I'm gonna take them here.
Yeah, they don't bother me. I don't think they've quit. I mean, they still have a coach that's competent, and capable, and knows what he's doing. Like, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, I can get down with that. Let's see. Hold on, that's my buddy Jonathan Hood. all right, I think that's gonna wrap it up. Is there anything else you want to hit on?
Nope, that's it.
All right. With that said, let me let you out of here, and I'll wrap up the show.
See you, man.
Later, buddy. All right. That is the end of the show. Go over to winningcureseverything.com. Go to BetUS, where the game begins. They bring you the show each and every time out. You can find them at BetUS.com. Use the promo code NCAAF2021. Go and check out the BetUS College Football Show. Go and check out the Sportsbook Review College Football Show. Chris does that one. I do the BetUS one. The links are in the description for that. Make sure and subscribe to the podcast, share the show out, all that good stuff, and we got it in within an hour. So with that said, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.